when the Consoler is come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did you see the Father? This question, almost biblical in its dimensions, one thinks of next week's Saint Philip, who at the Last Supper said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." But the questioner was no apostle. He was a big old Texan with a pot belly and a 10-gallon smile, and he wanted to know if I had seen the Father. He was a customs agent at Houston Airport. This was years ago. And usually they want to know if you're bringing back any fruit or livestock or something like that, anything to declare. But that wasn't his question. You see, my visit to Mexico happened to coincide with the visit of John Paul II to Mexico. I was coming back, and that is how he greeted me. Well, when it dawned on me what he meant by the Father, then I allowed as to how once in Rome I had seen the Father, and that seemed to please him, and I was passed on without any further check, which pleased me. The Father. Would there were a Father for us to see? Not a Father of the Revolution of Vatican II, which destroyed the Catholic Church, and not a functionary of the Father of Lies, but a Father, a holy Father, a real Father in Christ. Ah, no, I'm afraid I didn't see the Father. Some of us who are old enough may remember having seen the Father, the Holy Father, in our youth, but that's all. It's been a long time. Did you see the Father? Well, no, you didn't this week. But if you did see a lot of television, you may have experienced an interesting phenomenon. You may have felt the pull to go along with the program. Everybody, but everybody, liberal or conservative, and regardless of their religion, sees in him the Holy Father. And think of it. He's the perfect modern Father, likable enough, he pays the bills and keeps the lights on and does his best to keep the whole family happy. No particularly strict principles need apply, however, but if you don't like what he tells you, then of course you don't actually obey him. You recognize and resist him, as they say today. But still, in some sense, you see him as the Holy Father. This is a bad time for fatherhood, and that on any level. He who is meant to be the common father of Christians comes to our shores not only to preach a new religion, but to practice it before our eyes. Did you know that amongst the other things that occurred this week, in Washington the other evening, he stood up and received, very respectfully, Ratzinger did, symbols of five different false religions. The Talmudic Jews were there to give him a menorah, and the Muslims a Koran, with, of course, its blasphemies against our Lord's divinity. And an Indian pagan group called the Jainists had a metallic cube that stood for something or another. And the Hindus, an incense burner, which they set before their idols with their sacred word Om written upon it, and a bronze bell, which calls Buddhists to come and to worship their devils. It was incredible for me to hear that report, because just a short while before, I had counseled a Catholic who is suffering from the effects of what's called diabolic obsession, which means that the devil manifests himself in certain ways, and this has been occasioned by the presence of just these kinds of symbols in the building where he has to work. The psalmist tells us that all of the gods of the pagans are devils. That's our faith. These people are devil worshippers. What does any of this have to do with Christianity? Could you imagine a St. Peter or a St. Paul? Could you imagine St. Francis Xavier, or one of the North American martyrs, receiving joyfully the symbols of diabolic servitude? Get out. Get out while yet you may from this one world church. Well, some of us did. Some 9 of us, American priests, 25 years ago, next Sunday, we left the Pius X Society before it linked up with the modern church. We had been ordained by Archbishop Lefevre. We were truly grateful to him, and we saw in him a father in Christ, which made us all the more scandalized and horrified to see him open negotiations with the modern church, because probably he too felt the pull, you see, of going along with this universal movement. But how could we accept the new sacraments as valid and so many marriages in America as invalid when they passed through the diocesan annulment court, and the missal of the modernist John XXIII? It was against everything we had been taught, even before we met Archbishop Lefevre, and everything we had taught as young priests. So we had a discussion 25 years ago on an April's evening, and it didn't work out, and finally Archbishop Lefevre said to us, "Allez, trouvez-vous un évêque." Go find yourself a bishop. And that is what we did, thanks be to God. Grateful to be out of an organization which is still today negotiating and leading souls to that one world church, and presents to us a father who is not very holy and a father whom you do not have to obey, which is not very Catholic. This is a bad time for fatherhood and for religion. We Catholics cast about for some kind of consolation. Our Lord knows this. He comes. He promises the Paraclete, which is just Greek for the Consoler. We're orphans. We're poor children, bereft, and he knows that. An early Christian theologian, Origen, says that for the Christian, every day can be Pentecost Sunday with some fresh coming of the Consoler. What must we do to get ready for him now, to welcome him, and as we pray, to rejoice in his consolations? Well, he takes the place for us of a father in many senses of the term. We must treat him as we would a true and a worthy father. That is to say, we must respect him and not grieve him by our stubbornness or by our sin. We must love him and let him in and let him love us as any child would his father. And this is the hard part. We must obey him. We must allow him to mold us, to form us into Jesus Christ, cutting away and discarding anything that doesn't belong in our souls, anything which is opposed to God's holy will. But the eternal word of God is not, cannot be content with just words or sentiments, you know, things that are said in a sermon on Sunday morning or beautiful prayers you might read in a book. He sends his Spirit to us, and he works with us to make it actually happen in some practical and Americans are very practical people, American terms, we know what we must do this Fatherless Sunday as we await the coming of the Consoler. We're Catholics. We know where to turn. We turn to our Blessed Mother of Consolation. The Mother, never forget, represents God's love in the family. She is the anchor of stability, and she is the fire of fruitful, unselfish love. Our Lady is, in a sense, the personification of the Holy Ghost, whose true and virginal spouse she is. The third person of the Trinity, we really need him in practical terms. He need not remain for any of you a misty, vague spirit who is forgotten most of the year. No, he must be for all of us a real comforter, a comforter for Christians who sometimes feel forgotten and fatherless today. Look to the Mother, and you will see and honor and serve him by her and with her. So often, sorrow, neglected, tolerated, sort of a fellow traveler of our days. So often sorrow, this is the evil of it, leads to sin. Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian of the church, says there are just two ways to get rid of sorrow. Joy, any joy, could be something worldly, it could be something spiritual, and the contemplation of the truth. If you will stay with Our Lady, she gives you both in the best senses of the term. That is to say, a true spiritual joy that lasts. And by the rosary, the daily contemplation of the truth that will lift your spirits and enable you to find true comfort. Did you see the Father? These days, he's rather scarce. In many families, the Father is absent. Thank God that in our family, at St. Gertrude the Great, you do see the Father, as you should, here in church and at the communion rail, or lined up for confession. And may the children who remember what they see when they get home at night also see the Father, go for the rosary beads in the evening and gather together everyone for the family prayer. But when the Father is scarce, the Mother's duty is doubled. Thank God for the two mothers every true Christian has, Holy Mother Church and our Blessed Mother. Let us persevere in prayer with them, and let our fathers lead us towards our mothers. We often don't see the Father, and we often do feel a little abandoned. And there's a kind of edge of spiritual sadness just waiting in any one of our souls. Thank God that Pentecost can come any day. Let us ask our Blessed Mother of Consolation to make it come today. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.